Penguin Random House Audio presents Becoming Heroines, Unleashing Our Power for Revolution and Rebirth, with a foreword written and read by Latasha Brown. This is the author, Elizabeth Cronice McLaughlin. For Megan Baker, who embodied it all, and for my daughter and my son, who made me a heroine.
Foreword, written and read by Latasha Brown, co-founder of Black Voters Matter. Black women are heroines. For generations, we have fought for our survival, for our families, and for a better future. Despite the unspeakable harms and losses that have historically and routinely been perpetrated against us through to the present day, we continue to claim power, to work for justice, to seek to live in joy, and to thrive. This book is an invitation for all women to do the same. I first met Elizabeth in 2018 in Washington, D.C. at Black Women's Roundtable during a meeting in then-Senator Doug Jones's office about the work that remains to be done in the Alabama Black Belt. Over the next few days, Elizabeth and I spoke about collaborating to get out the vote, leveraging and building alliances across her platform and mine, and hope for the future. Since then, we have become friends and allies in mutual support of voting rights, anti-racism work, organizing, and the broader efforts to create change. I've watched Elizabeth walk the talk in her own leadership, work relentlessly to investigate her own biases, and center on the work of Black, Brown, and Indigenous women while also mobilizing all women to create change. Her own leadership has transformed over time, and she has inspired countless women to use their voices for change. This book is a culmination of Elizabeth's work to create a new model of leadership that redefines how we measure success based on the good we do in our lives and in the world, that challenges white women in particular to investigate their internalized biases and to abandon the trappings of white privilege and complicity, and that walks arm in arm with all women toward collective liberation. In my work as co-founder of Black Voters Matter, I seek to mobilize my community to remind all those who are struggling that they have power and to lead with love. This book does the same. It is a profound roadmap to how the world can change, how whole systems of oppression can die if we choose to do the work of understanding how those systems have harmed us and we seek to transform them from the ground up. This book speaks directly to why we, as women and across the multitude of our diversities, need to collaborate and conspire to build a better future together, because none of us are free until all of us are free. Black women's liberation, and indeed the liberation of all people, isn't dependent on white acceptance, and can't be. The racist and misogynist systems in which we live harm all of us, and must therefore be dismantled for all of us to realize our full potential. My hope for this book is that its listeners recognize that all women have heroines within us, and that for all women to truly become heroines, we must live into leadership that demands equity and equality for all. We must conspire to dismantle hate, discrimination, and violence wherever we encounter it. We must recognize that love is the highest and most important calling, and that silence is not an option where harm remains. In other words, we must become the heroine within, for ourselves, for our ancestors, and for future generations. This is a spiritual quest, as well as a personal and political one, and it is not easy. The stakes, however, could not be higher. We are all linked in a collective destiny that depends on our success, and we must not stop. In the words of Ella Baker, we who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. It is a great blessing to be called to this work. May you rise to the invitation offered in this book and become the heroine the world needs right now in whatever way you can. I look forward to meeting you on the march forward.
Introduction. Into the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Megan died on a Thursday night in May, 2 months and 2 days after my kids and I went into lockdown for COVID. For more than 4 years, she had been my right-hand person, the head of community and social media at my company, and a dear friend. Her death came suddenly. In January, she was diagnosed with cancer, and on May 14th, 2020, she was gone. Early May was a blur of percipient grief. I learned Megan was terminal in a text message from her, which revealed that after 4 rounds of chemo, her cancer had recurred and there were no more options. It was a matter of days until she was no longer conscious. Calls went out to all the women in our community who knew and loved her. We spent those 12 days in communication with her family in Colorado and with one another over daily texts, phone calls, bizarrely comforting Zoom meetings, waiting for news, knowing the end was near. In addition to being a teacher, a guide, and a brilliant strategist, Megan was also a shaman. She spent 3 years in her early 50s in shamanic study with a Native American teacher, and I had the benefit of witnessing Megan's talents in this regard firsthand. It was no surprise, then, when strange, out-of-this-world things began to happen as the veil between life and death opened up for Megan. Our collective of women holding watch began to report that Megan was showing up in dreams with messages for each of us and for each other. I had an incredibly detailed dream of a visitation from her, where she described what she was setting up for me as she hovered in liminal space, that ended with a repeated message, "The debt is paid." In another, she arrived to literally help me forge through a stream of rapids to get to the other side of trauma. Others in our group received messages from her about children or lovers or purpose. As we circled around one another, listening to her as she walked between worlds, these messages got stronger and stronger. All of 2020 was strange, but this window of 12 days in May, waiting for the arrival of death, will long feel to me like the strangest. Every day at around 4 p.m., I would sit on my back porch here in Southern California and begin texting Megan's sister for updates, and then move on to texting with our circle of women holding watch. I would pay attention to the earth, to the birds that appeared overhead, to the movement of the breeze, and to the weather. Every day, it was like stepping through a portal into a space between here and there, with her, with all of us. She was on a bridge between worlds, and we began to walk it with her. The day before she passed, I was sitting outside when a strong breeze came through, and all of a sudden, I felt her presence. There was a whisper in my ear, and I felt her standing beside me. There's no way to describe what happened next without sounding a little in between worlds, but just go with me. I heard her voice. "Bring the rain," she said. "Tell them all to do it. Show me you can do it. Show me you know how. Show me you know what you need to know." It was the oddest request. I had no idea what it would entail, but I knew what it was. It was a demand to prove to her that we knew what we, this circle of women, were capable of changing, that we understood our power, and that it was okay for her to go. I put out the call to our circle. "Bring the rain," I said, and no one responded like they thought I was nuts. I waited for an impulse for what to do next. Never one for grand gestures like controlling the weather, I walked outside onto that porch with my kids. I looked at the sky, and I said to them, "We're going to bring the rain." It was a sunny day. Neither of the kids looked at me like I was crazy. My daughter stood there with me, totally believing that we could do this, and we swept our arms to the sky, looked to the clouds in the west, toward the Pacific Ocean that was there, but that we could not see, and we gestured to pull those clouds to us, right over our house, by force of will and by force of belief that we could. Coincidence or not, something shifted. The wind began to kick up. Something moved in the air, and all of a sudden the dust on the patio was swirling and the temperature dropped. Lo and behold, the clouds began to move, and things began to get, well, weird. I watched that bank of clouds move over my house. I stood there, breathing.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?